Hey, Project Big Screen listeners, you can find us every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Feeling lucky? You should be. Meet the new Lucky One Sweet Tea from Miss Peaches, the vodka drink that's positively doing good. Made with real tea and real vodka, non-carbonated, 100 calories. And here's the scoop. Their new sweet tea is the only vodka-based sweet tea on the market. Simple ingredients in a smooth, full flavor that makes it taste just like the real sweet tea. Best part? Every can helps rescue dogs find their forever homes as they work to a goal of donating $1 million to dog rescues in 2026. So if you love true sweet tea, this one's a no-brainer. Pick up a Lucky One sweet tea today and give back one can at a time.
Welcome to Lights, Camera, Barstool, episode 242. Jeff Lowe, Ken Jack, Trill Ballins. We're coming at you today with an old Batman review. Batman Begins, we're talking about it. It's apparently also getting dropped from Netflix this week. Batman Begins and The Dark Knight, and I guess Rises, are all off Netflix. So we reviewed it kind of at the right time. We're going to be talking about that, playing a little Christian Bale box office game. His non-big movies, though. So we're going to be guessing his number 6 or number 10 highest grossing movies. And then we're going to talk about famous acting feuds. There was a good thread on Reddit movies. Some people put that. And there's a couple ones that are pretty funny and a few I've never heard of. We may have to revisit the old Jim Carrey, Tommy Lee Jones one as well. So that'll be our little extra thing here at the end today. We're also a couple before we talk about what we're watching, what we're consuming content wise. We will be doing 4 movie watches this week. A lot of movie watches. This Sunday night, and the pod's going to be out after this, but if you want to watch a replay, we're doing Revenge of the Sith, same crew we've done for Star Wars. A couple of our Barstool co-workers, Robbie Fox, Joey Molinaro, and Clem. And then we have a couple other ones later on this week. On Tuesday, we had the same crew for Inception. We're going to be doing Dark Knight with our other co-workers, Marty Mush, John Feidelberg, Fights, our favorite guest, Casey Smith. Trill joined for Inception. It was a blast. Yeah. You just waltzed in and talked to Marty Mush. It was absolutely fantastic. It's a great crossover.
He said I had the most generic voice he's ever heard, which I don't disagree with. And then I said, I at least don't sound like a mattress salesman.
Yeah, you blew his mind so quickly because then he went into the mattress conspiracy, which I had never heard of.
Oh, yeah. Very fascinating stuff. No, it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun to hop on. Yeah. I had to leave abruptly. But
it's okay. You come in with a bang, leave with a bang. We'll be doing that Monday on Netflix, Dark Knight. And then we're going to doing on Netflix as well, National Treasure with our good friend Large. KFC going to join us for that. And then Thursday, we have Infinity War with Robbie Fox joining us. And then another two of our co-workers, Roan and Ellie, who've never seen an Avengers movie or most of the MCU movies. So we're going to be doing a watch of a very complex Avengers movie with people who are going to have to piece it together. So looking forward to that. They've been fun. They've been a good way to keep people entertained and occupied. So just go to our YouTube page in the description below. You can see our breakdowns of Clone Wars and Westworld as well. But now what's happening, folks? What's been going on? What have you been, anything new you've been watching, gaming? Again, I'll ask, reading? No reading yet.
So I've been watching Ozark season 3, which is okay. I played Doom, but I couldn't keep playing Doom because it actually bored me. I got bored with it. Very bored.
What level are you playing on?
Not the easiest, surprisingly.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
I'll admit, I got it for Xbox like you recommended, which is very smart because I was about to buy a $60 external hard drive and then the game as well. I agree with that. I'm starting to feel like it's a little repetitive, but then they add in a new gun right when I'm about to hit the level of boredom. And then I'm like, okay, I'm going to play with this gun for the next few hours.
Yeah, I'm sure I'll return to Doom. But what I did do is I went on the Game Pass and I got Yakuza 0.
Ooh.
So I've been playing the Yakuza game, which is very Japanese.
Yes.
I mean, obviously, because it's about Yakuza, but just there's a button timing karaoke mini game in there.
It's amazing.
And yeah. So it's kind of fun.
I didn't know you were an Ozark guy. We've that's a show we've never really talked about. I've never gotten into it, not for a reason of I don't like it or anything. I just haven't had a chance to get into it. But I know people who like it seem to enjoy it. But I've never really discussed it with many people.
I don't know anyone that calls Ozark like a great show, but it is very watchable. Like I blew through the first two seasons very fast, and I liked it a lot. But it's never a show where I'm going to be like, yeah, you got to watch Ozark. You know, I don't know if you agree with that, Troll.
No, it's like it's Breaking Bad without like overly complex characters.
Hmm. I get behind that.
I don't know. I like it. It's enjoyable, but the season three, I don't know. I haven't been able to get into it. Maybe my mind's just not in the right place. I feel like they turned Wendy too much into the dark side. It kind of made it less enjoyable. I don't know.
I'm gonna start it up soon. Oh, I decided to finally use the bike for like the second time since quarantine started. And did 15 miles on the bike, immediately threw out my back.
What bike?
Like a stationary bike. I have a stationary bike in my apartment.
He's been riding his bike around his apartment. It's been very difficult.
Yeah.
Is it a bike on rollers or is it a stationary bike?
It's a stationary bike.
Oh, gotcha.
But it immediately threw out my back and just have not been able to move for the last 24 hours. It's incredible how quickly that happened.
Because I have a Peloton. Sick brag, right? And there's one Peloton instructor I love. What was his name again?
You told us once. I forget his name. Danzig?
No. I got to find here.
It's Glenn Danzig.
Anyway, I'm like, I feel like working out would put me in a better place, but I don't know. I just haven't been able to.
I've just resigned to the fact that my exercise is going to be the weekly grocery store trip. And then each night I walk outside for fresh air. I look at the very busy avenue my apartment's next to and I go, wow, this is crazy. And then I walk back inside. And I'm like, okay, I need to just eat well. Like that's what this has come down to. I'm just not going to be getting sufficient exercise. So I'm just going to make sure I eat well or I'm going to look like fucking Walt Goodman or White Goodman at the end of Dodgeball, basically.
Oh. Yeah, I've given up. I've had so many pizza rolls already.
Why are pizza rolls so much on sale? I don't get it.
The pizza rolls are what now? What are you saying about pizza rolls?
The last two times I've went grocery shopping, the first time was right before like the quarantine started, and then the second time was halfway through. Both times, pizza rolls were heavily on sale, like three bags for $5.
Get that volume out. The instructor's Dennis. He used to have long hair, but he cut it. But the guy rules because most of the Peloton instructors are all very good, but they're very inspirational, right? They're like, relax your mind, free your soul, just kick back on the bike and just let it all out. This is your time. So you're riding along, you're like, that's okay, that's great. And then Dennis is just like, okay, it's time to get on the bike. All right, we're riding now. Okay, this song by Def Leppard reminds me of being in the back of a old Isuzu Trooper with my girlfriend. You're like, what? This guy fucking rules.
Oh, man. I haven't been in a Zuzu in a long time. What a trip those are.
The Zuzus?
One of my friends growing up had an Isuzu, and we went like a little too fast. And by a little too fast, I mean probably 25 miles an hour over train tracks. And the whole muffler fell off. And broke and shattered. And he tried to pick up the pieces with his hands and burnt his hand.
Well, the Isuzu Trooper... Fun fact, it got in a lot of trouble in like 95, 96 for rolling just real easily because it had such a high center of gravity, just fucking flipping and rolling.
Anything else on the radar for you guys this week that you want to watch? Netflix is dropping some new movies this week that we have a chance to potentially review. We got April brings in all four Lethal Weapon movies.
Oh boy.
All three Matrix movies. We might have to do Matrix. Now that Matrix is coming on Netflix.
Yeah, I could settle for some Matrix.
Mortal Kombat. Mortal Kombat drop in there. Social Network. What else here? Bloodsport. The Hangover. A lot of different movies that are dropping on Netflix starting April 1st. Angel Has Fallen. Hell yeah. Why don't we review that movie again? So we'll have some new movies to sift through and try and review as we continue to go through this zone of having no new movies. Oh, The Green Hornet. Did you see The Green Hornet in theaters?
Seth Rogen?
God, no.
That's a tough movie.
No, I didn't see it. I couldn't buy Seth Rogen as a hero at the time.
Yeah, that was a tough
one. I could now.
Yeah, it didn't work out that well. It might have been better than Green Lantern, though. I got to go back and look. All right. We actually have like a decent amount of news, too, today. Kind of random. And we're going to talk about Quibi today. Finally, a real good explanation of Quibi.
Quibi. This episode is brought to you in part by Let Go. Folks, you hear us talk about Let Go all the time. We're stuck at home. You're stuck at home. Unfortunately, a lot of people are finding themselves with a ton of extra time. But you know what you should do with that extra time? Take a look around your apartment. Declutter. Put things aside. Get ready to try and sell them on Let Go. Get rid of them. Things that you may love but you don't need. You know, that maybe other people have a use for. Put them on Let Go. Being at home with nothing but time, it has its benefits to declutter, make the apartment look better, and get ready to sell things on Let Go. Make sure to go to letgo.com/barstool now. A great place to buy and sell, save some money, make some money. It's a no-brainer.
Let's move on to our first piece of news here. Jessica Chastain. She passed apparently on being in Doctor Strange. She wants to be an MCU hero instead. I kind of like that move. I would love to have Jessica Chastain be a big-time MCU hero at some point. I'm one of the best actors in Hollywood. And I think severely underrated, I'd almost say, too.
Yeah, I think she might have got – I thought she would have had her full after the X-Men Apocalypse experience, where she got to play the bad guy slash not bad guy alien creature or whatever. Was that – that wasn't Apocalypse. Dark Phoenix. Yeah, Dark Phoenix. So I thought she would have had her full with the comic book movies after that. But I'm glad she passed on being in Doctor Strange if she wasn't going to get a chance to be a legitimate character.
Everybody wants to be a hero, right? If you're not getting the comic book check right now and you're at the like top of the A-list, you're fucking up.
It's true.
You're fucking up. Leo, you're fucking up. Get that comic book money. Everybody's doing it. There's no shame in it anymore.
She said that when she was – hold on, let me pull up the full quote.
Once Christian Bale does it, I mean, come on.
She said that
– but that's going to be tough for Christian Bale.
What's the quote, Ken Jack?
She said when she was watching Captain Marvel, she said, "There goes my hero. Watch her as she goes. There goes my hero. She's ordinary. Don't let the best – I don't remember the rest of these lyrics. That's too much."
Is that really what she said?
No.
I think once Bale goes in, and look, Bale's obviously been a superhero before, but not in the idea of like this big cinematic universe franchise-y type thing like the MCU. He took, you know, a very serious, gritty role with a very big time director in Christopher Nolan. So when he kind of goes into something like a sequel to Thor, like Love and Thunder, I think when he does it, why not anyone else? He takes big roles, right? Like he is very selective of his roles. He takes big things. So I think follow the lead, folks.
I think it will be tough for Christian Bale. Like I think it'll be tough for 30 seconds as my brain readjusts. And then I'm like, okay, I'm fine. I don't care.
She said, look, this project sounds awesome and I would love to do it, but I'm only going to get one shot at being in a Marvel film and becoming a Marvel character. So I don't blame her. Unless you're Jaimin Hansu, who's just in every fucking movie. Mm-hmm. He gets the pass. He can just be in many movies and be different characters. That's just...
What character do you think she'd be? What's a good character?
I mean, make her I don't know, make her an X-Men.
Inspector Gadget.
Again. Sure, he was technically an X-Men villain.
She was an X-Men, yeah. MCU, just put her back in the X-Men. Give her something worthy, I guess. Jean Grey, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, who cares?
Yeah.
All this stuff so far away now. It's hard to think about.
I mean, if she's going to be in one of these movies, it's going to be like 15 years from now.
Yes. fucking forever. Have we talked about the implications to Avatar? There's no way we're getting Avatar in the next 5 years.
This just might
now.
Be a sigh of relief for James Cameron. He's like, yeah, oh,
seriously.
God. He's like, I needed more time. Now I don't have to. I don't have to blame it on anything. Oops, delayed again, folks. Not my fault this time.
Fucking Avatar, man. We almost had it. We almost had it.
Succession was a tough one. I read that this morning. That got delayed by HBO because I was like, at least we're going to have that this summer.
There's so many old people in that. That's fair.
Everything's like going to get delayed.
Yeah, doesn't seem like it. Quibi. You want to talk about Quibi?
Let's do it.
So let me do a quick explanation of what Quibi says it is. So Quibi is an upcoming American short-form mobile video platform headquartered in L.A., founded in 2018. It's set to launch on April 6th. So it's coming out very soon. We've been talking about Quibi for quite a long time. They're going to have plenty of different programs. They're all around, I believe, 10 minutes. So there's movies and chapters. Longer features broken into chapters of 7 to 10 minutes, unscripted and docs, shows that are episodic in nature and are 10 minutes or less, and then daily essentials, daily curated quick bites of news, entertainment, inspiration in the 5 to 6 minute range. You have The Most Dangerous Game, Survive, When the Streetlights Go On, those are movies, dramas, a couple other ones as well, Flipped, and one called Nikki Fresh is a comedy. Then there's some reality competitions and talk shows. Punk'd is coming back. Chrissy's Court, which is some sort of Chrissy Teigen courtroom thing. There's like a news thing by NBC, one by CBS, one by ESPN, a Rotten Tomatoes thing called Fresh Daily. They didn't call us for that. It's a shame. They have The Fugitive gets its own series, like a TV series. There's a Steven Spielberg horror show. Reno 911 is coming back. A How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days and Varsity Blues comedy series. Legends of the Hidden Temple, that's going to be like a reality competition that gets redone on Quibi. So here's what Jeffrey Katzenberg said. Jeffrey Katzenberg, former chairman of Disney, Walt Disney Studios, that is. I think I sipped my water running out of fucking breath there. That's what he says. Many people involved, by the way. Christoph Waltz, Liam Hemsworth, big names involved with this. Sophie Turner. It's not designed for TV. It's unique on the phone. Our technology has been created and patented for this makes watching on the film beautiful. It's special. I can't stand my TV on its side. So this, you can rotate. You can watch it in landscape and then turn your phone and watch it in portrait mode and have the same exact experience. It orients depending on how you're watching, which I actually do. I will say that is cool. Whether I like Quibi or not, whether people care, I think that is cool. How does that work? I don't know.
Work? Is it just Zoom?
Rotating technology. I don't know.
We can catch up already, Pornhub.
I like. Yeah, there. See, why don't they implement it?
They should have made that 20 years ago.
We are a platform. We're not a studio or a producer or a production company. We have this amazing partnership with all the major media and entertainment companies and independent producers.
What they say
they're a platform. They're not a studio producer.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
He said, "I'm producing." And then he said about Spielberg, I'm prodding him to get back to writing because he wants to write himself, and he's written half of a series. They came up with this great technology for it, and he's very excited. We're holding that just for him, and that was his idea, and et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, they really want to get this Spielberg show to be a big deal. I don't know. Quibi sounds interesting because, again, there's two things that I like about it. One, I think the technology is very cool. I do like that. Like, I wish the social media platforms had integrated. Like, if Instagram, you know, right, for stories and shit like that. Like, it is cool because I personally, like, I hate how you either have a landscape or you have a portrait. And I just think it looks silly in some platforms and all that. So the ability to kind of have it be both at the same time and work is cool. And I also like that they're a platform and it's like a Netflix, right? They're bringing in different studios, networks, all that. I just can't get on board with the 10-minute thing. Maybe, and by the way, it's $4.99 a month with ads to $8 a month without ads. I just, the 10-minute thing is not going to be, is, I don't know, it's just not going to work. Maybe for news stuff, right? Maybe for like the news programs or sports or even like the Rotten Tomatoes thing. But for me, and I don't know, like I feel like you guys may agree with this. Like if I'm sitting down to binge something and watch something, I want a lot of it. I don't want just like if I'm going to watch a show, I don't want 10 minutes of it. Like, I feel like when it comes to even like, I've used this example. Think about The Mandalorian. What was the one complaint about The Mandalorian? They're like, there's not enough of it. right? Or you sit down now, you're like, oh, this is being released once a week. I want more of it. 10 minutes at a time. I don't know.
It was just going to be 24 episodes. Let's just do a normal eight episode run. Just slice it up. 24 to 48.
I'm not paying Hulu prices for something that doesn't have 1/18 the fucking content Hulu has.
And that's the other thing.
It's going to have to prove itself to me. Damn it.
You're getting all the original content. That's the other thing. It's very similar to the Apple TV Plus thing, is that the content they're giving you better be fucking good, because it's all there is.
Apple TV at least came in with the high-priced normie names that, like, we all know and love. Like, this is coming in with Liam Hemsworth and Christoph Waltz.
There's a 90-day free trial when it comes out. I think we should try it the first week and kind of do, like, a breakdown of Quibi. But after that, I can't see myself. I don't know. My prediction is none of the three of us will re-up.
From the start, everything about it pisses me off.
Mm-hmm.
Everything about it. I sound like Ron White. This just pisses me off. Everything about it is total 2015 tech hype bullshit. Short form mobile video platform. Okay, tell me more. Well, you can rotate your landscape. Okay, tell me more. Well, they're 10 minutes. Tell me more. Okay, like, what? I don't care. Content's king. You got to have good shows. If you don't have that, I'm not going to care. I don't mind Chrissy Teigen. I don't want to watch a Chrissy Teigen show. I don't mind Zac Efron. I don't want to watch his show.
Yeah, and I like Liam Hemsworth and I like Christoph Waltz, but I think that movie's probably not going to be very good. And it's based off The Most Dangerous Game, which is a great story. When we were just saying how we wanted more stuff like that, hunting human movies and all that, but this just doesn't look great. I mean,
but that might be the most promising one, right?
Like, that's not a good sign that that's the most promising one, right? Well,
I mean, I don't know. I just, at this time, I'm not receptive. I'm giving it a cold shoulder. I need
at least one person to tweet out, wow, this show is so good, must watch, or something like that. Like, I need some sort of sign of life that's coming from someone other than Quibi.
Yeah, it's not coming directly from Quibi's people.
Yeah, I need someone else. Some critic. Quibi, if you're out there, you should give podcasters a year free of Quibi so that we can watch your stuff. And don't make me sign up with a credit card.
I think we should go in for 1 week. We should do Quibi. It's 90-day free, whatever. This all drops April 6th, and we'll give our thoughts on it. We'll pick like 10 things to watch.
We should each watch something different and then report back. That way we have the biggest web of
content. I don't mind that. Maybe we all take one thing from each category and we watch. I mean, they're 10 minutes or less. It's not like it's going to be any different than watching a movie.
Yeah, let me report back with what we think.
All right, Trill, you get Chrissy's Core and Punked.
Fine.
60 and 6 by CBS News.
Oh, we got you. We punked you. Got your ass, bitch. That's what they say after being punked, right? Got you, fucker.
Let's move on to Ryan Gosling. How about the Goss God?
What's he doing? What's he up
to? Ryan Gosling is going to star in a movie and produce it called The Hail Mary, an adaptation from the same author as The Martian. This comes from Collider. Ryan Gosling is attached to produce and star in an adaptation of the sci-fi novel The Hail Mary. The project is in final negotiations at MGM, with the studio reportedly throwing down a seven-figure sum at auction to acquire. It's about an astronaut trying to save the world while trapped alone in a spaceship. It won't be published until next year. The book's not even out, although pre-publication film deals like this are nothing new. So We've seen something like this kind of before. He's just going back to space this time.
Yeah, he's playing Doug Flutie.
So you said the author was the Martian guy, right? Well, yes. I forget his name.
A classic book was better movie. People always say book was better. I don't care. I love the movie, so maybe they're both great, but people do love that book.
Andy Weir.
Yeah, I'll tell you, the Martian book was great because it made stupid people feel smart, myself included.
Me too.
Because it had a lot of, like, very believable. That was probably – it could have been accurate, but it sounds very believable. I'm not saying it wasn't believable. When I'm reading it, it's like they're calculating gross tonnage of feces that would be required to grow potatoes in a
biosphere thing.
Biosphere. I'm loving that level of detail. It was like the Martian shat upon the floor and spread it out with a – handmade hoe he made out of a VCR lid from the spaceship. And I just gotta say, it's a lot of fucking pressure to have a book like this coming out that they've already cast Ryan Gosling in, or talking to Ryan Gosling to play the lead in. I mean, you could fuck two things up, right? Very easily.
Yeah, just I don't think I'm really interested, to be honest.
Oh, I'm interested. I'm interested.
I love space movies. I think I need a little bit of a break, to be honest.
But he's trying to save it from afar. What was the plot again? He's trying to save the Earth from like floating in the Fortress of Solitude.
Yeah, you got it.
So what's he do? Was he have like a little drone that goes back and forth? Takes 5 years to get to the Earth's surface. He's just trying to butterfly effect stuff. What's he doing?
I have a hard time. Yeah,
Andy Weir, if you're listening to this. Come on, man. Break me off a little piece of the preview of the book.
Give mm-hmm. Trill. We'll give Trill your email. We'll give you Trill's email. Send him the script. Send him the manuscript.
Send me the book. I want to read it.
You can be the exclusive first review. And we'll do the review before we review Quibi, too.
We should write a book.
Yeah, let's do it.
We should just do one of those PDF books.
With illustrations? Anyone want to draw for us?
I can do the illustrations.
Oh, you'll do the illustrations.
I'll do the illustrations. Yeah, we can make a book about like what's the shittiest topic you think? Like Clarissa Explains It All. No, you guys aren't into Clarissa. It's too old for you guys.
No, I know what Clarissa Explains It All.
I know you know what it is, but you don't care about it.
I don't know the reference.
You didn't get me hook, line, and sinker on that.
It's a book about Spalding Sporting Goods. Like nobody ever really wants to play with a Spalding, right?
Well, like, what should the title be named?
I mean, that's literally what the NBA uses, is Spalding basketball. So yeah, many kids want to play with this.
Anything else? Do you want a pair? You want a Spalding football? No, you want that Wilson football.
Spalding made the original XFL ball.
Actually, now that I think about it, isn't it kind of weird that each sport has, like, you know, you don't want Rawlings receiver's gloves in the same way you don't really want, like, a Wilson a golf clubs. Like, nobody wanted to golf with Wilsons, right? Or do people like golfing with Wilson?
No. I mean, you're on to something here.
Having a ball.
But I was going to say, like, you wouldn't play at the Wilson baseball glove, but Wilson makes some damn fine baseball gloves. So it's kind of wrong there.
So that's what the book is about how Wilson baseball gloves are actually good.
It's just about sporting goods. We just write a book about, it's like the big book of sporting goods.
Big ballers.
And it's about like.
No, you need to do an idiom. That's how books get there. They hook people. They make it an idiom pun.
I remember going into Sports Authority as a child and going to the rollerblade section and looking upon the K2 fatties.
Those were the days.
Real name of a skate, by the way.
Or they'd have the hoops with the glass, the plexiglass over the hoops. You couldn't really shoot.
That, did I tell you guys I used to do like the aggressive inline rollerblading when I was like 12 or 13?
No.
Yeah. Have you ever seen people do that? Like it was way bigger than skateboarding when I was doing it. But I'd go up with my friends and we'd like, you know, wax up some benches and do some like far side, soul side grinds, some royale grinds on these benches. It was a lot of fun.
Oh, this is Melissa Joan Hart played Clarissa. So that's cool. I remember
she
Sabrina
did.
And
I'm kind of surprised something like that's not going back on Quibi.
Her co-star is a software designer now. Good for him. You went to Notre Dame, graduated in 1998.
What made you get out of a game of rollerblading?
Oh, he works for HBO. He designed HBO Go. That's awesome.
Really? The guy who played Sam or the guy who played Ferguson?
I could not tell you. Let's see. He was Ferguson Darling.
Oh, yeah. That's her brother. It's her shitty little redhead brother. Fucking terrorist-ass horrible brother.
He seems like a pretty good guy to me.
Well, okay, the character was bad, but the actor was fine. Come on the podcast. Why didn't I stay aggressively inline skating? Said, you know, you grow up and you don't do that shit unless you're like, unless you're good.
You're Apollo Ono Trill.
Oh, skateboarding took it over. It was legitimately bigger than skateboarding in 1995. It had a point where, you know, skateboarding was huge in the 80s. This took skateboarding over. And then skateboarding came back and just crushed it out of existence.
It annoys me that I know Apollo Ono's name, and I'll probably never forget it for the rest of my life. But then, like, I can't do basic math sometimes.
I mean, like Apollo Ono's like, it's not like he's a schlub. He's like one of the
what's Apollo Ono been up to?
One of the greatest, like Olympic athletes ever.
Wasn't he in a Subway commercial?
Yeah, sure. he was a Subway. Yeah.
Was he like a rollerblader or something?
The thing I love is that anyone remotely involved with Subway for like a 20-year period has a picture of themselves with the guy.
Yeah, with the man. Did you find one?
The bad man. I think I did find one.
There he is. You sure did.
The funniest one by far, I think, is like, was he in a picture? Like, I do remember, you remember that like RG3 bust Subway created?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember if he's the picture.
So there is, when I was at Penn State, there was a night my freshman year, the weekend of our big whiteout, the big whiteout my freshman year against Iowa. And there was a night that Joe Paterno visited the area that we would camp out for football games. And the same night, Jared Fogle was there handing out Subway sandwiches as a part of a promotion for Subway. So there are some people who I know who have a picture with Joe Paterno and Jared Fogle in the same picture, which I have a picture with Joe Paterno. I don't have one with Jared Fogle. There are people I know, there's like three or four who are in a picture, and on one side is Joe Paterno and the other side is Jared Fogle.
I knew the exact apartments where Jared Fogle used to live at IU. We drive by, I think it was by the school of ophthalmology, and there's this Subway just right there at the bottom of the building in these old ass walk up apartments. Oh boy.
You drive past like the Amityville Horror House. So anyway, that was Ryan Gosling something.
I stayed at the same hotel as him before, like the week before he basically was done. Very weird.
I'm looking at his Getty Images page now. It's tremendous.
He ate at a continental breakfast. He had two big plates of breakfast. It's actually a hotel right by where we work right now. Wild story. Jared Fogle.
How deep does the rabbit hole go?
He just two major plates of breakfast. One of those hotels that gives out free cookies, which we talked about on our stream the other night.
Oh, yeah.
Doubletree. Yeah.
I like Subway, by the way.
Dude, they have the second most locations in the world for fast food restaurants. Isn't that insane?
I like a good Subway. I'm just going to come out.
But think about where you see them, right? It kind of makes sense. You think, yeah, they're in everything possible. Malls, train stations, bus stations, airports, and then just regular stores.
It's crazy. I would never think they were like a top three fast food place. But
well, they heavily lean on the franchise model too, and I think they're very liberal with handing out the franchises. Because I mean, obviously, when you franchise something, a lot of the risk now sits at not your level. So
mm-hmm. That's true.
To talk about meat undies.
Meat undies. Back on Subway.
Meat undies.
Ah.
Me. Folks, it's time to end your toxic relationship with your tattered, old, disgusting underwear, especially right now. I don't know how lazy people are getting with their laundry, and if there's like whatever, I'll wear the same boxers 3 days in a row. MeUndies offers endless options for those looking to help their undie game. You can choose a monthly membership, build a pack, and you can even match your undies with your other half. No matter what you choose, you'll get a soft, sustainable pair of underwear delivered straight to your door with free shipping. Complete win-win. MeUndies are made with soft, sustainable fabric and available in sizes extra small to 4XL. From black to unicorn, MeUndies prints are made for your self-expression. Great time to buy. Go to MeUndies, MeUndies.com/lights to get 50% off your first order, free shipping, and 100% satisfaction guarantee. I mean, again, if you want to sit around feeling comfortable in the underwear, now is the time to do it. There is literally no better time than now. In your lifetime, this has been the best moment. No brainer. MeUndies.com/lights. We got an actual trailer here. How about this? It's like the second trailer to be released since this all happened. Bad Education going on HBO. This premiered at TIFF back in September. It's coming to HBO on April 25th. I'm kind of excited. Maybe we'll talk about it. It's a movie. The film was based on real events that occurred at writer and co-producer Mike Makowski's high school during the time he was a student. Directed by Corey Finley and based on a true story, a student reporter starts to trace embezzlement at Roslyn School District in Long Island after the assistant superintendent makes a crucial mistake that hints at corruption that spans over a decade. Stars Hugh Jackman, Allison Janney, Ray Romano, internet legend Jimmy Tatro, friend of Pardon My Take and Barstool. This comes out, again, end of the month, April 25th. We're probably still going to be quarantined. What do you guys think about this trailer? I would Allison Janney, Hugh Jackman, Ray Romano. Tough to go wrong there.
That's what I'm talking about. Other than that, I don't have any comment. I just like the name of it.
I think that's a very insightful comment. But to me, it just reminds me of what's the Cameron Diaz, Jason Segel movie?
Bad Teacher.
Bad Teacher. That's just what it reminds me of.
That's why I like the name of it.
It's like a more serious version of Bad Teacher.
Yeah, that's the immediately what I think of is that movie. I expect this to be like some sort of bad comedy, but no, it's about a very serious thing that happened in a high school sort of close to me.
And then you know the story that it's based on?
I don't know shit about this. This is the first time hearing about it. It's 2004?
Look, I feel like if you get the Jackman in an HBO movie, you kind of just have to give it a try. Like if the Jackman's going to go up and do HBO, and talk about timing, who would have thunk that he'd be in this movie and they could drop it in one of the only places to watch a movie?
Honestly, Allison Janney's up there too now for me. She's so good. And she like everything amazing. I ever see her and she's amazing.
She really doesn't star anything bad. Allison Janney, very good agents. Very selective. They know what to put her in.
The antithesis of the Fastmans.
Also Ray Romano. And Ray Romano is, yes, Fassbender, man. Ray Romano's been doing coronavirus commercials for New York. If you watch TV in New York, he comes on and he gives New Yorkers a pep talk. This is Ray Romano's voice. And I know you're not supposed to laugh, but I just laugh because I imagine him recording it and then yelling at Deborah and arguing with Robert.
Stay inside, Ma.
Talking with the Big and Little Spoon.
Was he ever like a subway voice?
I don't think so.
Taxi cab voice?
Taxi cab voice.
Don't they have the voices in the taxi cabs too?
Yeah, they're very generic though.
Oh, but when I was there in the 90s, they had like Eartha Kitt. Some of the voices really? In the taxi cab.
No, they're very lame now. They're like,
hello, this is Eartha Kitt.
What you do, you get a taxi cab in New York, you get like a little Jeopardy from Alex Trebek. Very dumbed down Jeopardy too. Like the most sick, like if there was a dollar question on Jeopardy, that's basically the question you get in the cab. And then they'll have this one guy, Sandy Kenyon, who's a movie reporter, who we always sit behind. When Ken Jack and I go to screen,
don't know how.
We are always – great guy. He ain't – I'll tell you what. If you ever want to write a joke and have someone laugh, get it to Sandy Kenyon. This guy will laugh. No, you could make fun of his family. He will be in tears laughing. Guy loves everything. I love it. No, that's what you get. You get that, and then you get like a Kimmel clip in a cab. Basically all you get. Nothing too thrilling. And then you got to touch those dirty screens in order to mute them.
That sounds amazing, though. Remember when you could touch a dirty screen and not fear for your fucking safety? I missed that time.
I was in a place around me that has screens kind of in the front. I had to just go pick something up. I did takeout. And they're like, can I not use these? And they're like, no, sir. They're not activating those. Why not? It's like, I mean, come on, man. What do you mean, why not? These poor people are working. Just leave. Go order on your phone.
Ugh. Oh, man. I miss just fucking typing my pin in on a dirty-ass keypad, not feeling like I had to do it with my pinky.
I might just start wearing gloves all the time. I kind of like the glove life.
I haven't left the house in 15 days. Like, literally have not left the house.
What did you guys do for groceries?
We do the shipped. Or whatever the delivery service is, and then I wipe them down with Lysol.
Yeah, I mean, I've wiped down everything I've had.
Same here.
I mean, I like Dr. Fauci said that like isn't the biggest transmission risk, but it could still happen. And I don't think we wiped down everything, so there could be a lingering threat. So you never know. But fuck, I'm not going outside, dude. I'm staying in with my child and wife.
You have a Yoda Lego behind you that you still haven't built yet.
Yeah, what the fuck?
Dude,
it's been there for like 2 months now.
It's been, yeah, it's felt like 2 months. It's been like 10 days.
Definitely, no. We've done at least like 4 or 5 pods now, and it's been there.
It's been 2 weeks.
I hope you're about to say I'm too cool for Legos now.
No.
Dude, Legos are butt, bro. I don't even do Legos anymore.
No, because Legos, I can't focus anymore. I either want to work or I want to like lay on my child's nuggets, which are these big pillows. Big comfortable pillows. Jeff, I know you're laughing because that sounds fucking weird as shit.
I mean, you got it.
There's no two ways around it.
Yeah, there's really
if you're a parent and you knew what nuggets are, you didn't think anything wrong about them. But they're these big, they're basically the, you remember the foldy chairs you had when you were a kid that like you could convert into a bed?
Yes.
They're those, but basically deconstructed.
The best fucking content,
couch cushions. That's what they look like.
The best content you've been producing doesn't even go online. It's videos of you backing down your daughter in the post and dunking on her little tyke soup.
We got a little tyke soup, and I mean, she's a very small 2-year-old. Like, she can't even reach the hoop. And I've been doing like some step backs on her. Just, I've been giving her the Dirk leg kick in that separation and the foul. And she just laughs. She thinks it's very funny.
People, the other day was the 2-year anniversary of the last time you tweeted Smokin. And there are some people who don't listen to the pod. Like, what's Trill Bowens up to? And I should be like, he's backing down his 2-year-old daughter in the paint, just dunking on her, just yamming it as hard as possible. You actually bricked the dunk the other night you showed us.
I did. It was like a foot away too. It's tough, man. It's tough. Like, when you're, you know, you're being guarded by a 2-year-old, you don't want to hurt him.
That's true.
You don't want to hurt the baby.
How about this video game / Star Wars news? Star Wars Episode 1 Racer is coming to PS4 and Nintendo Switch. This was the pod racing game, Star Wars pod racing game. That was a lot of fun. It's apparently going to have a modern look to it, but it's also not that modern looking. Like, I guess the screenshots, they still look rather old. This brings up that old question, Tro, and you talk about all the time, is these older games and how they age. Do you have any interest? I feel like Kenjack and I will probably play this or think, well,
I have
no space on my PS4, so I won't be playing this game. But
This game, did it require the expansion pack?
Maybe. I don't remember. I remember the game. I don't remember like the fine details of this one as well.
Yeah, no, neither do I. I did. What was the one where you can only be vehicles and it took place in the Clone Wars?
What?
Fuck. There was a Star Wars game where you could only play as vehicles and it took place in the Clone Wars.
I don't know, but there was a thing called Bombat Racer or something like that.
No, definitely wasn't that. Was it just Star Wars The Clone Wars? No. No, was it? Yeah, no, it was. Star Wars The Clone Wars. It was vehicular combat such as Clone Wars ships, starfighters, speeder bikes, and tanks. And every now and then you get to do a mission as Anakin or Mace Windu. Yeah, damn. I guess that was it. Star Wars The Clone Wars.
The Clone Wars.
Yeah, I thought that was going to be one of the saga games, because Star Wars Revenge of the Sith is one of my more favorite Star Wars games, where like you actually just play the story as like the characters. Remember that one? You could do perfect parry, send the missile back at them. Oh, no, Star Wars Demolition. What the fuck?
There are some really, really weird Star Wars games that have been released over the years. And I think that's a big reason why they kind of purged everything and reset. Cause there have definitely been more bad Star Wars games than good games, right? Like,
yes,
there've been some terrible Star Wars games.
The good ones make up for it, but yes, there's been many, many, many bad ones.
Some real fucking floppers. Like, there was an N64 Rogue Squadron. I remember liking.
Yeah, I liked Rogue Squadron. I thought that was good.
I thought that was a good one. That might have been, was that GameCube or N64? I forget. There was one for GameCube I liked as well. But, I mean, you're right. The good ones are great. Like, Battlefront 2, I would love to play that.
Oh, my God. The original this is ass.
Battlefront 2.
This, I just looked up the Demolition 1 gameplay. It's on Dreamcast. Oh, boy, is it bad. Even the sound.
There's also the Star Wars game where you can do the Han Solo Dance Dance Revolution.
Oh, I remember. Like
Star Wars Kinect. The Kinect shit for Xbox.
I forgot about that.
But this racer is coming back. Okay, now, yeah, I remember the Clone Wars one now. Okay. Okay, yeah.
Oh, boy. This
Jedi Starfighter. Yeah, a couple other ones. Probably Commando.
X-Wing vs. TIE Fighter is one of my favorite games growing up. I love that one. I had like a whole setup with the joystick that we hooked into like our, I don't know, 1998 Compaq computer tower so that we could play it. And it was so fun.
I miss the old, like, shitty Compaq computers.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God, they're so gross. You remember Gateways?
Yes. Oh, my entire fucking computer lab in my elementary school was Gateways.
You know what we had for a little while? A People PC. Remember that?
No.
I don't. Oh, wow. Yeah, People PC was a popular one for a while. Had that with AOL People. Loaded up.
Remember people used Palm Pilots?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. I remember that. Like 2000.
Steve Jobs said, "Fuck the Palm Pilot."
there was a kid on my floor, freshman year of college, who had a Palm Pilot and took it into the bathroom. And I thought it was the most disgusting thing I've ever seen. And that's what we all do today with our phones anyway. So he was just ahead of the time.
Pound it off with a Palm Pilot? Was that even possible?
What's that?
You could pound off with a Palm Pilot?
You know what? I'm sure where there's a will, there's a way.
Palm Pilots were a concept that were always a lot cooler than they really were. You're like, this isn't that great.
Even beepers. Growing up, I wanted a beeper so bad. I was like, damn, this looks sick as hell. My dad gets a beep and goes to work. And like, in retrospect, that sounds like hell world.
Oh, like the, well, like, the, if you ever, yeah, if you ever want a beeper, go watch The West Wing. That'll make sure you never want a beeper. It just ruins their lives.
Or like any medical drama ever.
Video games, last bit of news. Trill, Dragon's Lair.
I'm not a Dragon's Lair guy. Game sucks.
Well, Ryan Reynolds is going to be doing a movie based on the game Dragon's Lair.
Was that it could work, though. It had a sense of humor to it.
Was that the, like, pick-your-own-adventure one?
Basically, it was a it was essentially – are you familiar with the QuickTime movie trend? So Dragon's Lair is a little bit older than that. But, like, Sega CD had a bunch of games where they would show you movies and you'd press a button and then essentially show you another movie after that.
So pick your own adventure, right?
Yeah, basically. So Dragon's Lair was that, where you press a direction and it would show you, like, if you press the right direction, you continue on. If you didn't, you'd die.
Okay.
It was novel, but I think it was highly influential, but it was also not very fun. I just wanted to beat some, like, I just wanted to rip out some skulls with Kano.
Mm-hmm. Chun-Li.
What about Ryan Reynolds starring a Leisure Suit Larry movie?
Now that I can get behind.
Which is Van Wilder.
I don't think it could be him. Gotta have someone older and grosser.
I like Leisure Suit Larry. He's very horny.
American Pie what presents Leisure Suit Larry.
Hold on, I need to see what he looks like again. Ooh. I forgot he has this weird kind of like Widow's Peak deal going on.
Yeah, he's a horny looking fellow with a gold chain. He's got a lot of good games. I know Trill was a big fan of the 2008 release, Larry's Leisure Suit Larry Magna Cum Laude.
Oh God, dreams don't dry.
got a cum laude.
Wow, this is something. I just found when I was looking it up. Apparently, there was supposed to be a Leisure Suit Larry movie, and guess who's supposed to star in it?
Who?
And this isn't a joke. Louis C.K.
Mm. He was going to be Larry?
He was going to be Leisure Suit Larry in a movie. This is, what year is this article? This is 2018. Wait, he definitely got canceled. Wait, well, I don't know. This is August 28th, 2018.
They never released Leisure Suit Larry 8, Lust in Space, also known as Leisure Suit Larry Explores Uranus.
They went with the obvious one there.
they really
like that.
You know, that was a meeting where they were like, oh, they also released Box Office Bust. That's the game we should get.
I'd love that one.
You know, that was a meeting where they're like, what do we call it? I want to call it Lust in Space. Like, why? Because, like, it implies Uranus. And then the higher-ups were like, no, you got to actually put the Uranus as the subtitle. We must make it obvious. Must be completely on the nose. All right, anything else before we get into Batman Begins?
Let's do Batman Begins.
The one with Katie Holmes.
Katie Holmes. I love Katie Holmes.
Folks, free rides, hotels, airlines, restaurants. You get excited about the 1% rewards from your spending and credit card, but what do your savings and bank account give you? Most banks give you about 0.01 interest on your savings, but you should be earning more. With the Wealthfront Cash Account, you can get 1.27 APY on your savings. That's 14 times more than the national average. With the Wealthfront Cash Account, you earn more interest on your money. They have one of the highest interest rates in the market, that 1.27 annual percentage yield. That's 14 times more interest than the national average of 0.09%. According to FDIC.gov, right now you can sign up for the Wealthfront cash account, in less than 5 minutes by visiting wealthfront.com/lights. It's easy, fast, quick to get started. It only takes $1 and a few minutes to open an account. You can even do it right from your phone, no paperwork required. Wealthfront is the ideal way to manage your money. You can save, plan, invest, and get financial advice all in one place, which is fantastic. Come on, who doesn't want that? And they make your money work harder for you. Go to wealthfront.com
wealthfront.com/lights and start earning 19 times more interest on all your savings. Wealthfront is not a bank. Cash account is offered by Wealthfront Brokerage LLC, member FINRA, SIPC. Wealthfront conveys funds to partner banks who accept and maintain deposits, provide the interest rate, and provide FDIC insurance. The APY is subject to change.
All right, Batman Begins. It's on Netflix for now. It's leaving soon. I think of the three Nolan trilogy movies, this is the one people probably remember or I think talk about the least, which is not a knock on it. It just obviously of the three of them, this is the one that gets probably brought up the least by the public. A young Bruce Wayne, the director of Christian Bale, travels to the Far East where he's trained in the martial arts by Henry Ducard, which we'll get into who he really is. A member of the mysterious League of Shadows. And when he reveals the league's true purpose, the complete destruction of Gotham City, Wayne returns to Gotham intent on cleaning up the city without resorting to murder with the help of Alfred, his loyal butler, and Lucius Fox, Michael Caine, and Morgan Freeman, a tech expert at Wayne Enterprises. Batman is born and the Batman happens. This was released in 2005. The Dark Knight was released 3 years later in 2008. And then I believe 2012 is when, The Dark Knight Rises. There was a pretty wide gap in between these three movies. I mean, nowadays, 4 years for a sequel like that is crazy between The Dark Knight and The Dark Knight Rises. Budget was $150 million, only made $380 at the box office. That obviously changed drastically with The Dark Knight, which made $1 billion off a very similar budget, that time $185 million. And we know what happened. The Dark Knight Rises then again made over $1 billion as well, and it became one of the most successful trilogies of all time. But again, not a movie people talk about as much compared to the other two. What do you guys think about Batman Begins? Start with you, Trill. Initial thoughts and score for Batman Begins.
I think Batman Begins is a severely underrated origin story type movie. I give it a, you know what, I'm going to be nice and I'm going to give it an 80. I think it's very solid. It doesn't get remembered because it doesn't have a good villain. It has an okay villain. But what really made all the memorable parts about the next two movies are the villains. And really, you know, obviously a great portrayal in Heath Ledger and the Joker, and then a interesting take on Bane, which a lot of people tend to enjoy, but I think got a lot of notoriety simply because it was distinct and unusual. What I did like about this movie was it did a good job of portraying Bruce Wayne as kind of a petulant rich asshole. Mm-hmm. And I think that made his, journey a little more rewarding, but he is very dislikable at the start of this movie. Like, yeah. And I know his circumstances suck, but I forgot how much of a fucking asshole he was to like, you know, just getting to the point of like where he confronts Falcone and then goes off and goes to Tibet or Nepal or wherever he was. Actually, where was he?
I just assumed it was China or something.
Somewhere. Yeah, but it's very solid. I liked it a lot more than I remembered it. I enjoyed it in 2005, but considering where the series went, I think it holds up. I think the sequels are very true to this one.
It's Bhutan is the correct.
Bhutan.
Mm. Where he goes. Okay, so 80 for you, Trill. Ken Jack?
I would give it an 81. I agree with a lot of the.
Well, that's cool. I give it.
Look, I was going to give it an 80 before you rated it, bitch. Anyway,
give it an 81. I mean,
I gave it a point up just so I didn't have the same score as you, asshole. But yeah, no, I agree with a lot of the points you said, Troll. I do think it's underrated just among origin stories, only because so many origin stories are so bad. And I think that this one isn't great, but it does a better job than most. And I think maybe we don't give it enough credit for that alone. I agree with you that also that Ra's al Ghul is just not that cool of a villain, even though this is. I think Liam Neeson was a good casting.
I think he's very good in the role, even if you don't love
it's,
him, right?
Yeah, it's a good role. I just don't think they did enough with him to make him as cool as he could have been, which kind of sucks, but it is what it is. I think the action sequences are all cool. Cillian Murphy's cool as a Scarecrow. What's her name? Katie Holmes is great. Rachel. Alfred's great. Or Alfred. Michael Caine's a great Alfred. The one part that I did not remember about this movie that is really bad is Tom Wilkinson as Falcone. His accent, like the weird Brooklyn accent he tries to do, I think Nolan just kind of swung and missed there because then he recasted him. Yeah, he was awful. He's like, yeah, see, you want to come down to Gotham? See, this is my city. See, it's like,
he was never recast. They just never used the character again, right?
No, Falcone was in the next one. It was just a different guy. They just
he's at the meeting with the Joker, right?
Yeah, he was. They just recast him as an actually cool bad guy. And like Tom Wilkinson's a great actor. Like he's bad guys in plenty of other movies. Like for example, Rock and Rolla. He's like the main bad guy in that, and he's fucking awesome because he's just a more comfortable of a role. But having him play this Brooklyn gangster, I think, was a huge swing and a miss.
I think they just used a different guy who took over.
Sure it's Falcone, and pretty sure that's Falcone.
Fuck, I got to get this guy. No, this is going to piss me off now. Snow's Maroney. Maroney, right?
Maroney and Falcone?
Yeah, Maroney took over the Falcone crime family.
You're right.
Yeah, that's the guy who he dropped off. He's like, this isn't going to kill me. And he dropped him off and he broke his legs.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Because I thought the same thing too until earlier. I just double checked. Wait a second. I forget what they did with Falcone. But
that guy's way cooler.
I agree with you. Way cooler. He's got the very Gotham-y like vibe to him. It's almost like you went to some weird. The first thing that came to my head, because you messaged us in the group about it, you're like, I forgot how much this guy stunk. It's almost like if you went to like an escape room and it was like a mob themed escape room, and that's like the guy at the front desk. Like he just didn't work well. It didn't ruin the movie for me, but you're right. I think it was a bit of a miss.
Or like a mob themed restaurant or something. Yes. The accent was so off, and like that's not a big deal or whatever, but like the character also just stunk and wasn't very interesting. And I think they weaved a lot of plot elements in decently well, and I think they set up a lot of the Dark Knight very well in this movie, which is the most important, I would say, contribution it had to the entire Dark Knight trilogy.
Well, we'll get to the very on the nose ending of this movie, whether we like it or not. I have a couple questions. I want to know what you guys think about certain things here. But just kind of going through the story, I think I gave it an 88. I'm higher than you guys. I think it's aged well. And I think in terms of origin, I think this is about as good as you can do with an origin story and keeping it interesting. Obviously, Christopher Nolan loves time. He loves the concept of time and bending time and twisting you about in a movie. And I think I always forget with this one, he does that very much as something like a Dunkirk, right? Like maybe not as complex, but you start out in different parts of his life and they all kind of converge eventually in the end, but there are flashbacks / forwards. And it's a creative way to keep the viewer kind of their head on a swivel a bit and to keep when you're watching, keep you engaged and interested in trying to piece things together and figure out on your own how this particular Batman comes to be. And I just think it's very well done, even though there are parts that I don't quite love, where as opposed to in like The Dark Knight, for example, which is one of my top movies, top 20 or top 10. I honestly just released my list. I can't remember movies the last like 15, 20 years. I mean, it's in my opinion, Dark Knight's the best comic movie of all time. But this did set it up very, very well. Again, I like the jumping in time, kind of going through the story a little bit. I noted that when Bruce, first of all, they do a great job of Bruce Wayne's parents' death here. Like it's a well thought out and emotional story. It hits its beats, but it doesn't drag too much. They tell Bruce so many important things, adult things after his parents die. They're like, hey, we got the guy, kid. The kid's going to be like, all right, how old is he? Like six?
I don't know. They brought him to a fucking opera and he was 6 years old.
Yeah. But and then like when he's back at the manor, the new CEO or whatever, he's like, hey man, we're going to have the company. And he's like talking business with a little fucking decorum here, guy. This kid's barely pressing his parents today. You're talking like adult stuff about like the board and like shares and stuff. But I think that's a big reason why you can't recreate that scene again. I don't think you can do that scene any better than that.
Yeah, that's more or less, the limit for us. And I think that's definitely the best Batman death scene. And I like the actor who played, what's Bruce's dad's name? Tom Wayne?
Thomas Wayne, yeah.
Yeah, so I think that's one of the better actors to ever play Tom Wayne. And I did find that he kind of helped instill like that, I don't know, Batman, be a good person, you know, help Gotham, whatever thing, without going too overboard. Which is, you know, that's interesting enough. And I also like the guy who played, was it Joe Chill, right?
Joe Chill, the guy who killed his parents.
I like that actor a lot.
And he says, he looks in the camera and says, I'm Joe Chill.
Mm-hmm. Hey, I'm Joe Chill, see?
Remember me?
The CEO of Wayne is actually played by Rucker Howard. It's William Earl's name. Rest in peace, Rucker Howard.
Big R.I.P. Joe Chillian Murphy.
Well, let's talk about Cillian Murphy. Cillian Murphy plays the Scarecrow, a.k.a. Jonathan Crane. Do we like the Scarecrow? The Scarecrow a little bit slept on here in terms of villains from the Christopher Nolan verse of Batman?
I think his power, like his, not powers, whatever, like his villainous intent is cool. Like messing with the mind and hallucinations and all that. Like we know, we just came off like what, a year off of now Spider-Man 2, which did a great job of like showing how illusions and hallucinations and all that shit can be that cool. I think they kind of, you know, maybe missed out on the potential here of Crane, and they kind of, they just threw him a bone in the next one by making him the or not the next one, but two movies from now when he was like the judge or whatever. Like I think he could have been a much cooler villain. But it, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, it was fine. I think that it obviously allowed them. The thing about this one that the Dark Knight just doesn't have is that there are very supernatural-esque or supernatural light elements at play, both with the League of Shadows and Ra's al Ghul, and then also with the Scarecrow, even though the Scarecrow, his is explained by science and all that, but I don't know if like I love that, and kind of like the way it fits in a Batman origin story. I thought it was well executed, but that's the reason I love the Dark Knight so much, is it almost just like the essence of the Joker in terms of him just sowing chaos, I thought was more pure in terms of playing off Batman, and I thought that's maybe something you could do in the second one that maybe they didn't have the runway to do in this one because they're still trying to set the character up. But the Scarecrow is fine, but like it's you know, if you were to rate it in this entire, you know, run of movies, I don't think it's in the top half.
Well, you played the Arkham games, right? And like he's prominent in those, right? Is he cool in those?
I mean, it's basically it's a similar character. It's just, you know, you get hit with the gas, and then he grows in size, and you have hallucinations and whatever. Like, I think it's fine. What I like about the character is I like how embedded he is into the criminal justice system. And I know that's kind of a complaint, and also like not really, is like throughout the first two movies, obviously they highlight the Katie Holmes, Maggie Gyllenhaal involvement in, you know, the kind of being in the district attorney's office, which then, you know, works itself into the second one with her involvement and relationship with Harvey Dent. And then in this one, it plays really well because she's obviously entangled in that space. And then Bruce almost, you know, shoots Joe Chill and all that. But
Joe Chill sounds like a Tiger King character.
Such a great name.
I did like how like his, like the Crane as a villain operated in the same, you know, kind of like secret identity type space, but like as a supervillain, you know, once you strip away the gas, obviously he's just okay. He's but then he reappears.
Dude,
we see him again.
Did you ever see that one video someone posted behind the scenes of when Crane gets gassed with his own thing, and he's talking to Batman, and he has that really gross, like he looks like a human, actual human bat, and he has like the sludge coming out of his mouth. Right. That was a practical, like a part, mostly practical effect or something.
That's
and,
crazy. Like,
such an insane thing. I just assumed that whole thing was CGI, but it was like a mostly practical mask, which is insane.
My favorite moment with Cillian Murphy, I want to note, is when he enters Arkham after they capture Rachel. I just love the way he delivers it's the Batman line. I don't know. That's a perfect Cillian Murphy delivery. Like anyone else saying that, I don't think it would have worked. So I thought for that sake, I thought it was pretty good. There are a couple characters in this movie who not for like, I mean, they're meant to stink, but like Commissioner Loeb, that guy fucking sucks.
Awful.
I forget. And he dies in the next one. He stubborn asshole drinks that stuff, like, which I guess is called alcohol, but there's like poisoned alcohol.
And then the guy who takes his job, doesn't he die when he charges the field in Dark Knight Rises?
Yeah. Who?
It's the blonde haired dude. I forget his name.
No, the guy who takes his job is I'm thinking of the mayor. I'm thinking of the mayor who looks like he has eyeshadow on.
Oh yeah, the dude from Lost. The Spanish explorer from Lost.
Who else? Katie Holmes, obviously we mentioned that. She plays Rachel Dawes. Do we care, like, do you have a preference? Would you have preferred she stay on? And I'm not talking just continuity. Like, who played the better Rachel?
They're both fine. I like the Rachel in this movie better because I liked her disappointment with Bruce. And I felt like the second one was so tied up with like the Harvey Dent, Bruce Wayne, Rachel love triangle that like, at least when like, it's one of the more authentic moments in this movie that Bruce is like understandably like taken aback when she's upset about him like bringing a gun into the courthouse. Like she mm-hmm. is like she's a major figure in his life, and like it almost like when you go into that romantic territory, it becomes almost cliche rather than like in this one, them just kind of being like lifelong friends when he had nobody. And I realize that's overanalyzing it, but there's really no difference. Like aside from that, it's not like the Rachel Dawes character was given a lot to work with. Right. Like, and that's kind of why they're able.
I think she was really good in this one compared to the next one, only because Katie Holmes, whatever it is about her performance, she seemed to me at least to be more of like a badass, which like fit more into the role of, I think, Rachel because of everything she had to do. And I didn't really get that same vibe from Maggie Gyllenhaal.
Well, but that's because like, yeah, I agree. But I think that's because like the big thing about the Maggie Gyllenhaal character and the angst of like Bruce Wayne is now that Maggie Gyllenhaal is with Harvey Dent now. So now she's like basically somebody's girlfriend. Whereas in this one, she's his friend. And like, a big catalyst for him like seeking to better himself with her disappointment. I felt like she had more to offer in terms of like being a badass, and the second one obviously, you know, not.
I have a hard time explaining what it is, but there's a way that she plays Rachel that I just prefer in this one. There's like, I don't know, like there's almost like a, it's because I think the relationship is built on when they were kids and they were like younger and immature and they've grown up, but there's still a bit of like immaturity, obviously, to Bruce as well, where I think Maggie Gyllenhaal's Rachel was a little more larger than life, or what her character, I don't know. It's tough. I have a hard time fucking explaining it, but there's like this little intricacy, like this, like splitting hairs, that just the way she went about performing Katie Holmes in this one, I just prefer it better. Didn't matter the end because Maggie Gyllenhaal was in the better movie, but obviously, yeah, that's the biggest difference between the two of these, is the fact that they changed actors.
It's also, but like her character is given more in this one than to just to be the thing that Bruce Wayne is emo about.
Like a plot device, yeah. Yeah. Something to help his characterization.
He's
like
a simp.
He's simping. He's simping.
He's in the big Dark time.
Night. And we've all been there. Like we've all, look, I mean, who amongst us hasn't loved a girl and then had her blown up in a warehouse by the Joker.
By the Joker, baby.
Like most people go through that when they're 17. Bruce just, you know, had things came along differently in his life. But yeah, you're right. This one, I felt like he obviously he had something for Rachel, but it wasn't Rachel. Like, you know, like he was such a simp that Alfred had to lie to him about the note.
He had to lie, like, Master Wayne, you're too much of a simp.
Master Wayne, I'm afraid you're gonna be upset when you find out. it's that meme that's going around now, right? That you showed me, that guy like texting the girl, and then it's like Bruce Wayne's like, "Hey, how are you doing?" And the girl's like, "Dot dot dot." And then the third one is Harvey Dent, and the
last like, "Hey, what's up, baby?" Eggplant emoji, and she's like, "Oh, Harvey,
yes, daddy,
yes, daddy."
Hold on, I'm gonna make that meme now.
You know what I did like, and I want to go back to the origin thing, is just the way that Batman becomes Batman, because this Batman doesn't have superpowers, which not that Batman does, but this universe doesn't have superpowers, and that was like Christopher Nolan's big thing. And it's, you can, right, like you can, I guess, let me tell me if I sound crazy here, but you can get away with Batman doing crazier things in a universe that Superman exists, right? Like you just kind of set that aside.
Yeah, for sure.
So this one, obviously, I like the Ra's al Ghul training stuff, because even he's like the art of deception and like magic and sleight, like that type of shit. Like it makes it, you're like, oh, okay. Like when he disappears, like you have to find a way to explain it. And again, I think that Nolan just kind of got that. And he's like, we have to pace this. We have to make this move quick, but we have to be able to explain this in a way that is interesting and that will still make people believe like this guy who is basically a superpower, but at the same time isn't a superpower. I think all of that is good. And I do think the beginning stuff with Ra's al Ghul is good as well. My biggest issue with Ra's al Ghul, I just don't ever love the Ra's al Ghul stuff in Dark Knight Rises, and I like the Dark Knight Rises. But the character, to me, it didn't have a ton of intrigue to me, I guess.
Isn't that the weirdest thing? Like, if you went back in time and said, yeah, Batman's going to be a ninja, wouldn't you be like, damn, that's going to suck. Like, that's going to be terrible. And yeah, somehow it was fucking awesome. It was really cool.
Yeah, it's even like, and I even like the fake out stuff in the beginning. Ken Watanabe's in this movie. Obviously, he's been in other Nolan things. He's in Inception. Poor guy, Inception just gets tossed down into the fucking limbo for 80 years. Other Batman scene things here. I think even the Batcave, I thought that was pretty fucking great. I forgot how cool that was when they roar up the Hans Zimmer. You see the building of the Batcave. It's one of those movies, again, where I think it is a little underappreciated. It's not like it's a movie that people say is not good. It's just underappreciated that we see these origin story movies, and a lot of times we're like, ah, man, these origin movies, like, they become so cookie cutter. But yet you go back to 2005, and in 15, 16 years ago, they made a movie of an origin story movie that was unique and still remains, for the most part, pretty unique looking back on it. I think that's probably what makes it so great. How about the Tumbler? How about the Batmobile in this movie? Do we like the Tumbler? Because it's obviously the most unique Batmobile out of all the Batmans. It's a tank.
It has all the cool tricks and shit, but I still liked it a lot. This is like when it's just like a straight-up tank. Like, there's no weapons, no cannon, no, it doesn't turn to the motorbike. It's just sick.
I've never paid attention to the explanation of what it was, and I'll read it. It was an all-terrain vehicle that could launch into a rampless jump to get across rivers or other impassable territory. Then it would implement a bridging system that would allow others to cross. Yeah, I always just thought it was a military tank. I didn't realize it was for
why did it have to jump across to make the bridge come back? Why not put the bridge from your side of the river?
I don't know. It's like one of the problems where it's like you have a tiger, a snake, and whatever, and you got to get them across the bridge one at a time.
Yeah, I don't understand it. And I don't understand
how put them all in the Tumbler. Jump that shit.
I don't get how they couldn't get the bridge to work. That's the one thing about this whole operation that wouldn't work. Like, they got the indestructible super tank with the jet engine in it. That's all fine, but it couldn't make a bridge.
I like the Tumbler. I think the Tumbler firmly belongs in this universe that is, I think more rooted in reality than one of the other Batman movies. By that, I mean the Tim Burton Batman movies and the Suicide Squad shit, and also the one where he puts on a big suit of armor that can keep up with fighting Superman. So I think it works here. But I'm also glad to get back to like what we're seeing with the R. Pattinson movie, with that like more ridiculous looking 70s type muscle car Batmobile. Like, I don't think every Batmobile needs to be a tank. And this is like, they kind of tried to do it a little bit with the Suicide Squad, the Affleck Batman, right? Cause that looked very much like the Tumbler. And I think every Batman kind of deserves its own car.
Yep.
And at some point, it's like, you got to get back to the Bat. Like, the Batmobile is ostentatious. Big phallic-looking car. Big dong. Big dick of a car. Batman needs that.
Yep. Yep, I agree. Anything else with Batman? With Batman Begins? Any other big questions you might have or thoughts that might kind of be out there a bit?
The microwave machine was dumb.
Okay, because that was my okay. I did want to get to that next.
That was my question. Who had the best plot between Ra's al Ghul, the Joker, and Talia al Ghul / Bane?
I mean, it's the Joker.
I think the Joker's is the best too, because it's the most simplistic. You don't need to think about it too much.
Was the device too convoluted? The device with putting in the stuff in the water and the side, like, is that the, because like, for me, I wouldn't call it convoluted, but I get if you could. It definitely, like, this movie, I'll tell you what, like, this movie, if the villain stuff had been a touch better, this is right up there just below Dark Knight. I just think like the device for me, like, was a little, that was kind of my biggest sticking point with the story,
this microwave that eradicates the enemy's water supply. Like, or you could use a bomb. And like, the one guy was like, or I think it was Mr. yeah, Fox was like, you can't use this to disperse chemical agents, but, you know, eliminating a civilian water supply, that's A-okay, not a war crime. It's like, what is the moral dilemma you're not having here, Mr. Fox?
I thought it was it made sense at the time, but now it's stupid. It feels like something that, like, you know, it has a scientific type explanation that fit in well for that decade, where it felt like they're trying to do something that was like a complex plot, and then they had the whole thing was engineered for that end scene with the train. They kind of had to work it back, but like the way they got to like the train needed to be at a certain point, just like, it felt like a lot of work. It felt like you could have like very much directly done something else, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I think the Joker's like put the less, like, in terms of the cost of the plots. How much do they spend for that whole League of Shadows? Spend a lot of money on 1 and 3 coming up with all that shit. The Joker just got a few fucking people and was like, okay, we're going to do this now.
$17. I loved, what's his name? Or just Bruce Wayne just being like, yeah, I won't kill this one murderer, but I will kill all 50 of you in this temple with no problem whatsoever.
That's the classic Bruce Wayne. And there, here we go. Do we classify him letting Ra's al Ghul die at the end as murder?
I mean, he's already killed at that point. He burned all those fucking other dudes to the ground. He burnt them to death. He killed the other Ra's al Ghul, Ken Watanabe.
His moral code is basically that he won't shoot somebody.
Yeah,
I think Batman just needs to clarify that. I'm not going to shoot anybody.
I think them rigging it so the train explodes and blows up and saves the day, I think that counts as murder.
I agree.
I think Batman, bad dude. Would put him up in Arkham.
He's a dick.
That's bad guy.
The Rock's on Instagram Live, right?
Oh boy!
And we talked about this before. He's doing his cheat meal.
Oh man, what is it?
It's like big French toast. But like, you know how he always says, "I'm gonna crush this." Haven't we always said like, "I'm not sure he eats all of it."
Yeah.
He's still got a lot of this left to go, dude. I'm not convinced he's gonna eat this.
Show the video. Let's see it.
How can you show the video?
Yeah, he does have a big French toast. We'll do an update. We'll do an update. We got to get to the rest of his pot. We'll see by the end of this where he is. He's got a giant French toast. We'll probably have about 20 more minutes left. Let's see if we request maybe joining this Instagram with him. We just spam his Instagram. Hey, Rock, can we join, please?
Let us talk to you. We'll make our own stack of food.
I love the questions coming in. Who is the baddest dude you ever lined up on in football?
Are you a forehand or a backhand guy?
What's your favorite joke in WWE history? Ask it.
No.
Are you a dry guy, Rock?
Dude, all the people are commenting are like clout chasing, like motivational speakers.
Mm-hmm. I just saw a Brazilian flag, though.
Yes.
He's a backhand guy like everybody is from a second. You're like, that's not that good.
I'm going to hit him with come to Brazil.
Oh, man. Rocky.
All right. Anything else in Batman Begins besides the microwave?
Oh, he just cleared the French toast off the plate. He didn't eat any of that shit. He had like a bite.
What a fraud. Someone just commented, just watch two of your movies. Keep up the good work.
You're doing good stuff.
He just got rid of that. Do you see that?
I gave him a come to Brazil from the LCB account.
He got let down. I just love these. I love these motivational speakers who are just spamming this account. Yo, what did you learn about yourself in isolation, bro? Oh my god. All right. Batman Begins, featuring a horny scene where he teaches someone how to putt. Very random scene where he's just putting in the secretary's office. I didn't remember that. He does have like a short span of being a playboy, which I kind of respect. Which goes back to what you said, Trill. Him just being kind of like douchey Bruce Wayne, trying to distance himself from the Batman. All right. Batman Begins. 83, just below the original Harry Potter. He just said, thanks for watching. That was a fraud stream by The Rock. He didn't cheat. There was no cheat day. He didn't have a cheat day there. Bruce Wayne. Big simp. Batman Begins, kills Ra's al Ghul. I'd say we can do Dark Knight eventually, but that shit's going off streaming. So I'm sure people were. We could review it. Not like people don't remember it, but I want to keep it on stream. 83. That means its composite score puts it just below Harry Potter, but above National Treasure. I think it's a little lower. I think we might have been a little harsh on that. Box office game for Christian Bale, though.
Oh, let's do it.
So I'm going to send you guys the top five. These are Christian Bale's top five movies. Shit. The Dark Knight Rises, The Dark Knight, Batman Begins, Terminator Salvation, and Pocahontas. So you need the 10 through 6
for
Christian Bale. So pull up his filmography. Obviously, you already know that the first three made $1 billion, $1 billion, and $375 million.
Okay.
Dude, there's no way I can get that. This is the hardest thing I've ever had to do.
This one is?
Yeah, the 6 through 10.
You've done this before for like two other people.
For Christian Bale? Not for Christian Bale. All right, I'm going to go with Public Enemies.
Yeah, I was about to say Public Enemies would be my next.
All right. So 6, 7, 8, 9. Hold on. 6, 7, 8, 9. Public Enemies is your first guess?
Yes.
Public Enemies is number 10. Mm. We're one for one. Good start.
I'm going to go with American Hustle.
American Hustle? Or is that a group? Just making sure.
Yeah, sure.
American Hustle. We're actually going to talk about David O. Russell in a little bit and Christian Bale. American Hustle is number 7. You're 2 for 2.
How about Mowgli? You think Mowgli made money as animated?
What the fuck was Mowgli? Oh.
Yeah, it's when we played the Jaguar.
Wasn't Mowgli just released on Netflix, though? I didn't even see it on here.
That was like a bootleg one. That wasn't like a real Disney one.
It wasn't, but...
I don't think Mowgli dropped in theaters.
Didn't we watch it?
It was on Netflix.
Oh, that's right. Never mind.
Yeah. You're 2 for 2,
though. Oh, 2 for 2.
Terminator Salvation.
Wasn't that on the list?
Yeah, Salvation's number 4.
That was in the list Jeff sent.
Oh, shit. All right.
I don't know about The Fighter. Like, American Hustle is obvious because American Hustle got so much unnecessary praise. And Public Enemies was a big letdown, but that didn't make a lot of money.
I don't think Public Enemies.
You literally already guessed Public Enemies.
Yeah, we guessed
Public Enemies. Sorry. I was going to say I don't think that because of Public Enemies. Oh. I don't think it made more than Public Enemies. I would say Exodus, God, and Kings. That's my guess.
Okay, I'll
go. The God movie. There was Ridley.
You know what? And it was Ridley Scott.
And it's Ridley Scott.
I'll go with you.
You're 3 for 3. Exodus, God, and Kings was number 6.
I was getting ready to laugh at you, dude.
Number 6. Don't laugh. You two are 3 for 3. You said this was hard. You have 2 left, though.
Rescue Dawn. That was old Werner. Heartbreakingly beautiful. Definitely didn't make money.
Which positions? Can you tell us which positions?
Mm.
You need 8 and 9.
I wonder if Reign of Fire made a movie. Probably not.
Reign of Fire?
I like that movie, but it definitely didn't make money. Wait, what is his 90s movies, like Swing Kids and Newsies?
There's no way.
No way. I don't think Newsies, but... Or like Swing Kids, rather, but Newsies.
Empire of the Sun probably made the most money because it was a Spielberg movie, but...
I rewatched that a couple days ago.
Like Little Women probably made some money.
Portrait of a Lady.
American Psycho didn't. I mean, yes, you couldn't be on the
list. I think that had like more cult following than actual real money.
You know what, though? You know what I bet one of them is? I bet one of them is Howl's Moving Castle because that's a Miyazaki. It's a Studio Ghibli movie, and those go ape shit in Japan.
Then go for it.
Is this worldwide or US?
It's worldwide. It's always worldwide.
Okay. Howl's Moving Castle.
Yeah. Howl's Moving Castle is number 8. That was the one I thought you may not get. That was a
me.
That was a
the,
big.
The OG Miyazaki guy. Yeah,
I know, but that's a big brain guess. I respect.
Let's go.
You're missing just one now. You have 3 chances out of 2. You've crushed this list.
Given
no the 6 or 10s, you've not had issues with.
Fucking hate it though. It's harder. Terminator Salvation.
It's done the list.
Knight of Cups. The fuck is that?
Knight of Cups was a bad movie.
What about Hostiles?
I don't think that made money. That was a good movie, though.
What about Ford versus Ferrari?
Ooh.
Ford versus Ferrari?
Yeah, yeah, yep.
That's got to be it, right?
You pitched a perfect game. That was number 9.
That was a lot easier.
That was one of the easiest ones ever, actually. You didn't get one wrong.
I forgot he was in Howl's Moving Castle. That was the one that came after Spirited Away, I think.
That was pretty good. You fucking crushed that one.
Spirited Away is my favorite.
Oh, it's so good.
All right. Before we wrap this up, I'm gonna read some feuds here. And you can just give some thoughts on the feuds, maybe a laugh here and there.
Me versus The Rock for lying about his cheat meals.
mm-hmm. If they come from Reddit, from the movies Reddit, I'll make sure to quote people so people don't drag us on the r/movies. Marlon Brando versus Frank Oz. You guys know this one?
No, tell me about it.
This is from user jazzlike-nerve. So Marlon Brando made director Frank Oz's life a living hell on the set of The Score. Frank Oz, obviously very famous puppeteer, did the voice of Yoda, created Yoda. And he refused to shoot scenes unless Oz spoke in his Miss Piggy voice when directing. De Niro ended up having to direct some of the scenes of Brando instead of Oz because it just didn't work out.
That's amazing.
And Oz, being the pro that he is, like doesn't care about it. He's like, yeah, it's just what happens.
With Brando? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Brando, you could do a whole segment on just him, on Tim Brando, Marlon Brando, not SEC football announcer, Tim Brando.
Well, apparently, have you read about the Island of Dr. Moreau?
Oh yeah.
That apparently is one of the hardest productions ever, because not only did you have Marlon Brando, but you had fucking, apparently Val Kilmer was super mercurial, like at that point in his career.
There are there's a documentary that covers a lot of it. I actually didn't include it in this thing because it was too long, but that is a very famous one. Yes.
Imagine going through all that just for fucking in that movie. Which, like, the greatest, like, cultural relevance that came out of that specific movie was the South Park character, has a little baby with him.
That movie had the score had De Niro, Edward Norton, and Marlon Brando. And we'll get to Edward Norton, who very famously has had a lot of feuds. All right, moving on. Next one, David O. Russell versus basically everyone. David O. Russell, very well known as being kind of a piece of shit. Christian Bale nearly beat the shit out of him on set of American Hustle after he made Amy Adams cry. There's a really ugly rant between him and Lily Tomlin. You can look it up on YouTube. Very ugly.
Christian Bale beat up David O. Russell?
No, but he came to the defense of Amy Adams and got in his face. But George Clooney really almost beat the shit out of him. George Clooney hates him.
David O. Russell.
George Clooney wanted to fight David O. Russell on the set of Three Kings because of the way he treated the crew. In a 2004 interview, Clooney made it clear that he and Russell were not on speaking terms, admitting, quite honestly, if he comes near me, I'll sock him right in the fucking mouth.
Hell yeah,
that's from
dude.
George Clooney. And George Clooney, very, very well known as being one of the nicest guys in Hollywood. Just a very down-to-earth guy. No matter where he goes, he'll come on set, or if it's like an interview, and he'll say hi to everyone, just chat people up, take pictures. Just nice guy.
Have you met Clooney?
Easily one of the nicest people in the world.
Is he handsome?
For GMA. Oh, my God, yes.
Does he smell nice?
Fucking Ocean. Danny Ocean.
This probably smells nice.
Wesley Snipes versus Ryan Reynolds. Little Blade feud. Yeah.
Blade 3?
From user I Love Halo Reach, which this might be Ken Jack, actually. Are you a Halo Reach guy? I forget.
Very possible.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Wesley Snipes and Blade, him and Ryan Reynolds had to shoot scenes separately and edit them together. Wesley also refused to open his eyes at one point. They had to CGI it in. His eyes. The CGI. His eyes. This is a classic. We know this one. Tommy Lee Jones and Jim Carrey. Jim Carrey and working with Tommy Lee Jones in Batman Forever. I went over. This was at a dinner. I went over and I said, "Hey, Tommy, how you doing?" And the blood drained from his face like he'd been thinking about me for 24 hours a day. He started shaking and got up. He must have been in mid-kill me fantasy or something. He went to hug me and said, "I hate you. I really don't like you." And said, "I cannot sanction your buffoonery," which is still
an all-time line.
It is an all-time. Though Carrey has admitted before he could be a problem to work with because he was always on. And he was always a character. So there was much buffoonery.
Yeah, that's got to be annoying as shit.
You sign on to be in a Batman movie and play fucking Two-Face, and you're annoyed about people being on. I mean, come on.
Yeah, but alternately, you're playing the Riddler and you're on all the time. Fucking turn it off.
No, that's not a stuff. Come on.
Bette Davis versus Lillian Gish. This is an old one. This comes from, again, Jazz Like Nerve. As usual for her later years, this is a crazy one. Bette Davis had hated everyone on set of The Whales of August and made everyone's life miserable. However, when she went, she launched into one of her rants, sweet little old Lillian Gish would just turn her hearing aid off, infuriating Davis all the more. But Davis still managed to score off Gish on the set. The director said, "Miss Gish, you've just given us the marvelous close-up." And Bette Davis says, "She should have. She was around when they invented them." Just an age joke, which is like a really mean burn. And then said, "Gish did not say one bad word about Davis during filming until it was all over and she was interviewed for People. They asked her what she thought of the behavior of Davis, who had had a terrible stroke years before and had face paralysis. She said, 'The face, have you seen it? What a tragic face.'" My God, that is like the most brutal one on this list. That is, you know, that's deep-seated hate when it comes to that.
That's really mean.
Fuck, this is like vintage Hollywood, too. Edward Norton and the Hulk. Obviously, Edward Norton no longer the Hulk, taken over by Mark Ruffalo. Apparently, he took the role. This is from Saluki Knight X. Apparently, he took the role of Hulk because he was a massive fan, so much so that he basically rewrote the Zach Penn script. And it says, if you look on the poster, you'll see the movie was co-written by an Edward Harrison, which is Norton's first and middle name. The director, Louis Leterrier, wanted Mark Ruffalo, and worked with him on Now You See Me movies for the part, but Marvel wanted Norton instead. That obviously came back to bite them. The director felt the movie dragged, so he went after the scenes Norton wrote specifically, a scene where Dr. Samson, Betty's boyfriend, was psychoanalyzing Banner, and the famous cut beginning where Banner tries to commit suicide and Hulk prevents him, knocking over an iceberg, briefly exposing a frozen Steve Rogers and his shield. What remained after all the cuts were the shield and Stark references that Norton inserted, but because they weren't the spoken word, WGA removed his name from the final credit, hence the discrepancy between poster and final film. What a fuck. That movie sounds like a pain in the ass. That whole process just sounded like miserable shit. And it's crazy it didn't derail the MCU. Like, it's kind of nuts they just recast such a pivotal character and it worked.
The here's another one. I don't know if it's on the list, but Jamie Dornan and Dakota Johnson. I don't know if anything's officially been published, but they fucking hate each other. Hey. You can tell by the interviews mm-hmm. they did. They can't stand each other.
They signed up for something they didn't want any part of, but they took the bag and they just worked through it.
Made a deal with the devil.
They did. I got two more. Lucy Liu and Bill Murray. Bill Murray very infamously has many feuds with many people, though. This is not just to this one. According to reports, Murray insulted the actress on set, actually stopping a scene to point to Drew Barrymore, Cameron Diaz, and Liu and remarking, "I get why you're here and you've got talent, but what in the hell are you doing here? You can't act." Liu responded by trying to punch Murray, and the two eventually had to be separated into different corners of the room. That was Charlie's
McG really had to calm the tensions down.
Yeah.
Do your job, McG.
Apparently the only person that Bill Murray never had problems with was Wes Anderson.
Really?
And that Gene Hackman didn't like the way Wes Anderson was doing a movie. It was Royal Tenenbaums. And Bill Murray went to the defense of Wes Anderson. And lastly, this is McG Star Wars.
The Terminator Salvation too.
McG, still a reminder. The whole idea of the name McG, insane. Kenny Baker and Anthony Daniels, R2-D2 and C-3PO. One of my favorite feuds. Rest in peace to Kenny Baker. Anthony Daniels, a real weird cat. R2-D2 and C-3PO might be close characters on screen, but the Star Wars actors behind them couldn't be more distant in real life. The feud reportedly first started when Kenny Baker attempted to say hello to Anthony Daniels one morning, and Daniels turned his back on him, saying he was in the middle of another conversation. I was blazing with rage. It was the rudest thing anyone's ever done to me. I was furious. It was unbelievable. Daniel said of the encounter per Hollywood.com, not to mention the robotic costumes didn't exactly lend themselves to conversation. That's just sad that R2 and 3PO hated each other. That'll always be a bummer. Like that's the classic pulling back of the curtain with movies and TV where you're like, do you really want to know too much behind the scenes? You want to know that R2 and 3PO just fucking hate each other and they're in all these Star Wars movies together.
Too much. Didn't need to know that. Makes me think less of 3PO, even though I already knew it.
Anthony Daniels is a bit strange. Like, I think we know just from his Twitter.
He's and everything kind of, about him.
Just kind of a very weird guy.
The one credit I will always give Anthony Daniels is anytime there is ever a piece of Star Wars media ever made and they say, hey, can you voice to it? He will do it no matter what. I will always give him credit for that because almost like literally no one else in the Star Wars universe does that.
And like, I don't know if that's just him. Like he needs to like have his like clamp on it, but he's like, this is my fucking character. I don't want anyone voicing it. Would you do that if you were the character? Would you be like, this is my shit. Don't touch this. I don't want anyone impersonating me.
See, if I was him, I would say yes, because he has like obviously nothing else going on and that's fine. But if I was like a Harrison Ford, it might be a different story.
It would depend. I don't think I'd care that much. I wouldn't want to be in the booth having to record lines for Kingdom Hearts 3 if I'm some famous actor worth $250 million.
Dude, it's crazy. Like they're like, hey, you want to do your voice for this mobile app that's going to make $10? We'll pay you like a free pizza. And he's like, yeah, sure.
You got to do the Tom Hanks thing, right? Doesn't Colin Hanks do all his voicing?
Yeah, I think a lot of people typically have like contracts with people that voice him. Like there's a guy who does all of Eddie Murray's voices. Eddie Murphy, sorry. I was thinking about the baseball player. Because I watched the Mulan 2 sequel on Disney Plus with my daughter the other day. And the guy just does an Eddie Murphy impersonation, but apparently he's done Eddie Murphy voices for a lot of different things.
That's amazing.
That's a fucking job.
Let me get his name. Hold on.
There's a really, actually, you know what? Here, I'll throw out a streaming suggestion for people. It's called I Know That Voice. It's a documentary about voice actors. Came out in 2013. I don't know. It's on Tubi for free, actually. You can watch it on Tubi. Also going to rent it on YouTube. It's a very enjoyable movie, but it's basically just about voice actors, and there's very famous names in it. Hank Azaria. Who's the guy who voices Seth Green's in it? Kevin Conroy, Jim Cummings. Who's the guy that voices Homer Simpson?
Dan Castellaneta.
Castellaneta. Ed Asner's interviewed. Mark Hamill has a big part in it. They do a thing about
Joker, baby.
Actors who are like big names who voice people, and there's ones who you just know from that. It's a very cool documentary. I know that voice.
Do you ever, when you're watching an anime, like you recognize a voice in a sub or a dub, and you're like, oh, let's look that up because it sounds so familiar, and you find out they've been in every anime you've ever watched in like 10 different roles? Because that happens to me a lot.
This the guy was Mark Moseley. He's a voice double for actors like Eddie Murphy, Patrick Stewart, Arnold, Patrick Warburton.
What a range!
Voice. Yeah, like look at this filmography is. So he voiced Donkey in the 2001 Shrek in the Swamp Karaoke Dance Party. Then he's done Mushu in Mickey's Magical Christmas. He's done Mushu in Mulan 2. He's done voices in the PJs as Thurgood Orenthal Stubbs, which I think that's a famous one right there because that was a show that was created by Eddie Murphy and Larry Wilmore. And then Eddie Murphy notoriously wouldn't show up to record his lines sometimes. And so they had to get his voice doubled to do it.
That is what an insane range of people to do voices for.
I'm looking at Mark Moseley's face and imagining him doing an Eddie Murphy voice is not great.
Is he a white guy?
Yes.
Okay. Man. No.
I did Terminator 3, The Redemption.
Oh, wait, no, this is a place kicker. Never mind. Different Mark Moseley.
Like the NFL place kicker?
Yeah. Or maybe it is. I don't know. Let's see.
I don't care what he looks like. It's a guy who can do a Patrick Stewart and an Eddie Murphy. That is range.
Oh, he's somehow a much more whiter man. The actual one. I looked up his picture. It's just like this weird 90s LinkedIn looking photo.
I bet we could get him on the pod.
Come on, Mark.
Mark Moseley on Twitter. He's on Twitter, dude.
Good for him, man.
Voiceover actor, Build-A-Bear radio host, VP of programming.
Excuse me, what?
He's the Build-A-Bear radio host.
I didn't know that was a radio station, to be honest.
By the way, I know that voice. The voice actor doc is on Amazon Prime.
Sweet. So
if you want to watch it, I would definitely. It's a very cool documentary. And if for nothing else, you'll see people who voice like a million characters, and you're like, it's just crazy to look at them. Let's get this guy on.
See if we can get this. We can get this guy on.
We just ask for impressions the whole time. Hey,
I'm gonna send you the screenshot of his account.
Do your Patrick Stewart for us real quick.
He does Patrick Warburton, and you guys could have a Patrick Warburton. Ooh, off.
Yeah, no, that'd be awesome, actually.
Mark Moseley, baby. Build-A-Bear Radio. That'd be my first question. What the fuck is Build-A-Bear Radio?
I need to know.
It's Howard Stern sexually harassing Build-A-Bears. Let me get a look at you. Let me stuff you real quick.
You've done it all. You got to kiss the heart before you put it in the bear.
What?
Never went to Build-A-Bear.
Build-A-Bear Radio. What the fuck is this?
I'm very confused. Too. Very interesting.
All right, here it is. It's Build-A-Bear Radio will now be available in free iHeart app. Beginning of the studio. The station will be heard on a variety of devices spanning mobile and car. Blah, blah. What the fuck is it? Tell me what it is. Oh, it's a streaming radio station featuring the songs and stories behind today's established and emerging family-friendly pop artists as well as curated shows and segments.
We might be too dirty for him if he's family-friendly.
Yeah.
He can come on and talk about his segment, Bear Aching News.
We can have one segment with him where we're clean, I think.
And he does top family pop songs and a Barica's countdown of the week.
Okay, this is getting too pun heavy even for me. This is rough.
Okay. All right. Interesting. That's it for the podcast today. I don't know what we're going to review next week, but we have new movies coming out, or the rest of the week, or I guess the next two movies we're going to review. I don't know. We'll probably do a Matrix or something, but send us some suggestions. We'll figure out something to review and talk about. As always, I think we're going to do worst movie character to be quarantined with in the middle of the week.
Mushu.
Yeah, Mushu would be tough.
Be annoying.
Yeah.
Old dragon.
Wait, who did you say? Didn't you say Ace Ventura when we did worst people to have a car ride with?
Oh, that'd be tough.
Oh, yeah.
You just
Someone
fart.
Said Ace Ventura.
It was you.
He'd be on all Somebody the time, just like you were saying.
Yeah. All right. That's it. Ken Jack, Joe Bones, I'm Jeff Lowe. Hit that YouTube subscribe page. We'll talk to you later on in the week.
Have a good week at the streaming services. Don't be afraid.